All right, Jeremiah 29. We're starting a new series today, which kind of relates to the Luke 12 mandate. And the message today is called The City. I'm going to talk about that. Jeremiah 29, very famous passage, verse 11 to 12. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, God. We thank you for Tyler and Lauren and their family, for Bo, and all the things that you're doing through their lives, God. We thank you for the example, Lord, and we ask you to bless them, God, and just continue to fulfill, God, your will and your destiny throughout their life and their company that they're starting. Father, we ask now as we come into your word that you would speak to us, God, and you'd make it so clear, God, and give us the strength to obey, Lord. Father, to that end, we ask you to release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us individually and corporately as a body. I humble myself this morning, Lord. I ask that you use me to preach your prophetic word with power and authority. Help me, Lord, not just to convey your words, Lord, but to convey your heart. We thank you, Lord. We bless you, God. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. We're talking about the city. I start off by saying I love Hong Kong. I'm a suburban boy. I grew up in Irvine, California, which is a very suburbs kind of place. Actually, before that, I was at Huntington Beach, and before that, we're in Chicago. And before that, I was in Korea. I was actually born in Korea, even though I don't really speak Korean that well. But I am Korean. But God brought me to Hong Kong in 1992. And I just share my journey with you just a little bit. I became a Christian in April of 1992. I gave my life to the Lord. I didn't grow up in a Christian family. My parents didn't grow up going to church, even though they became missionaries later on and served for 17 years in Uzbekistan. I grew up as a Buddhist, and I remember as a little boy doing Buddhist ceremonies at the anniversary of my grandparents' deaths. We used to do all kinds of different things with incense, and you know, I said, do this thing with the tea around the incense and bow and really just get mad at my parents because they made me do that during that day. But I came here in April of 92. Oh, I'm sorry, I got saved in 92. In May, I came here to play basketball for 5 weeks with my university team. Here's a picture of me during that time. Is it up there? So those are the guys that I played against during that time. And man, I was really skinny back then as I look at this picture. So we'd go into a town, a province, and we'd play their championship teams or professional semi-pro teams. And we'd have a dinner. The mayor would bring us out, and we'd have this dinner. And then after the dinner, we'd play these teams and basically get clobbered because the refs are in their court. I mean, I don't have to get into the whole thing. We did win a few games along the way, but that wasn't the point. The point was for us to witness and to do evangelism and to share the gospel with these Chinese athletes and coaches. I ended up staying that whole summer that year because I also was a volleyball player. I played volleyball in college as well. And so the organization we're working with, Sports Service International, they had a whole volleyball program after the basketball program. And so I ended up staying. So I stayed here for 3 months. I became a coach with the junior national girls volleyball team, and I helped out. I actually was, because my special, well, not really my specialty, but one of my hobbies was to play beach volleyball, play doubles, you know, two-man. And so I would teach the girls how to play doubles because that's really the best way to develop all of your skill set as a volleyball player. And one of the girls that I started coaching, who became a good friend and was a Christian and all these things, actually ended up playing for the Hong Kong National beach volleyball team, which is kind of a cool story. We still hang out today, these days. And so I was there. I coached with the national volleyball team. I traveled during their summer season. I also interpreted for the men's Korean volleyball team. That's a crazy story in itself. I'll tell you another time. I can't even speak. I mean, my Korean is so much better now than it was 20 years ago, but I actually interpreted in the South China Morning Post, all the media, because this was a huge event that was taking place, and the Volleyball Association thought, you're Korean. I said, yeah, I'm Korean. I said, can you speak Korean? I said, sure, I can speak Korean. I really couldn't. And they said, why don't you become the interpreter of this national team that's coming? And so press conference and, I mean, just crazy international event. You know, sitting in a table with 18 microphones in my face and then, you know, translating from Cantonese to English. And I'm supposed to translate into Korean and then Korean back. And, I mean, can you imagine? I'm sitting there and they ask me the question. I just looked to the coach and he knew I didn't know what I was talking about. And so, I mean, it was a crazy ordeal, but it went through. The crazy thing is afterwards, the management company that was organizing the event said, man, you're really good. Can you, like, can you translate some more, right? And I was like, no, it's okay. I'm going to retire right now. So that happened. I also got to do a lot of really cool things as well. I met Jackie Chan. Here's the next picture. And he's pretty buff, but I'm taller than he is, right? So... So I hung out with Jackie one night at while they were filming a movie. I mean, just crazy story. In other words, I had like the summer of my life. I just got saved. I'm doing all these things athletically. All these things are happening. But most importantly, that summer, I fell in love with God. I fell in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. I fell in love with God's word. He came and just ministered to me. We would literally play basketball all day long in the summer heat here in Hong Kong and in China. And then I would stay up until 3 in the morning with a little flashlight in my little room, and I would read the Bible while my teammates were sleeping. And I God just filled me with such a love for the scriptures, a love for him. And I learned to hear God's voice that summer, hanging out with the YWAM missionaries here in Hong Kong. I didn't come from a charismatic background or anything like that, but they just made it seem so natural. Yeah, you're a believer, you get to hear God's voice. And so we would pray together, and God would start speaking. And it just became this crazy thing, a lot of miracles happened to me in that summer. And that summer, I also received a call to missions. And it wasn't one of these fantastical calls. I was actually walking in Sha Tin, you know, way out new territories. I was walking around, nice day, kind of like today, hot. Sun was beating down. And I remember just walking and looking up to the sky and just enjoying being in Hong Kong, enjoying doing ministry. And I looked up and said, God, this is pretty cool. I think I could do this if you asked me to. And that was my missions call. And then, you know, so I went and studied missiology and kind of got my bearings there. But it all happened that summer in 1992 here in Hong Kong. I came back in 1993 to lead the next team that was coming here. And unfortunately, you know the story, I tore my ACL towards the end of the trip. And I ended up going back home after I had surgery here in Hong Kong. But it led me to go back to Southern California, where I worked as an accountant in a bank. I was doing business and all these things. But eventually, that led me to ministry, because I wanted to get back. And that's basically how the story happens of how I became a minister. I came back in 1995, and again in 99. Here's a picture of me in 95. We all shaved our heads, right? You think I look mean with hair? When I shave my head, I look like mad gangster, man. So it gets so hot, I want to shave my head more, but my wife says, no, you're not allowed to. And so to get a picture, that little guy in the back, I don't know if you remember Pastor Brian Kim, who came and preached a couple years ago. That's him. Right? It's like a little boy, right? Who's now pastoring a great church in Southern California that I'll go visit this summer and things. And so that's us. We all shaved our head because we knew it was so hot in Hong Kong. And quite frankly, we just didn't want to shower. And so, you know, it's one of those missions things. But I would pray for Hong Kong all the time, all through this time. I hope that picture's gone now, right? Okay, so I can focus. And we pray for Hong Kong all the time. And one of the things when we're in Hong Kong is there was no air conditioning all the places that we were at. For whatever reason, I don't know why, as I look back, but I just felt so sorry for Hong Kong people. And I would be home and I'd literally pray, Lord, would you help them cool the temperature in Hong Kong, especially during the summer? It's so hot and these people don't have any air conditioning, Lord. Now remember, I'm in new territories and I didn't know Hong Kong Island was so prosperous. I never came to the island. I was always out in the boonies the whole time. And I didn't realize I was doing mission training with our team. And actually, Pastor Eugene was on that team and getting my wife ready to come to Hong Kong, whatnot. And still with this idea that there's no AC in Hong Kong. And so what I would do during the summers, we would roll up all our windows in the Southern California heat. We turn the heater on full blast and we drive all day long. And I would tell my people, hey, this is mission training, man. This is what you're going to be. This is what's going to happen in Hong Kong. And so just suck it up, right? And then we came to Hong Kong. We're like, air conditioning is everywhere. I mean, it was just this crazy revelation that happened during this time. But I would pray. It was the first time, I would say really the first time I ever prayed for a people group. Actually, first time I ever prayed for a people group, period, number one. But also the first time I actually prayed and God gave me a people group. And as I prayed, I would just start crying. That in itself is just a weird phenomenon where I just sit down and you pray. Right, no agenda. Just say, oh God, I just want to be with you, like Tyler was talking about abiding. So I'm abiding in Christ. And then as soon as I do that, I get this picture of people's faces, and the picture, they were all Chinese. And I get these faces, and as I started praying for these people, this people group, I would just start weeping. I didn't know what was going on, and I would turn to our missionary friends that were there and say, I don't know why, I'm just crying. And they would say, God's giving you a heart for this people group. I was like, oh, that's what God does. He does stuff like that. And the first group ever was actually Chinese people. And I mean, just kind of an amazing thing. I've spent almost all of my married life here in Hong Kong, except for 8 months. We got married in March of 2002 and moved here in November of 2002. My three girls were born here in Hong Kong, all in public hospital at Queen Mary. I love that hospital. Right, they're all born and doing well here. We've been privileged, my wife and I, to pastor this church, such a great church in the city, and now launch a few more churches. We're involved in planting Febe, which is the Indonesian ministry here in Hong Kong, involved in planting the church in Beijing with Pastor Sam Kim and Mary and Annie and Chris and Amy, and now we're in the process of planting a church in Singapore. And just feel so incredibly privileged of God to be doing this. And so all to say, going back, I love this city. I don't know why, but I love this place. It's humid right now, and I mean, at home, we actually don't have any air conditioning right now at home. So I'm living back 1992 and 93 again, because our building is being renovated, and that's still okay. It's just a minor blip in what God is doing in our lives these days. And I know that God has a great purpose for this city. I think there's something so divine about this place, about Hong Kong and what God is doing here. And I'll just say, God loves cities. Later on down the year, we'll do a whole, build a whole theology of the city, God's heart for the city. I don't have time to do that right now. But God loves cities, and that's affected in our vision. Our vision at Solomon's Porch is to plant churches in world-class cities to bring effectual change. Today, for the first time, I'll give you a little blip. Today, for the first time in history, this is happening right now as I'm preaching. For the first time in history, there are more people now living in urban centers of the world than in rural or in the suburbs. Never happened in the history of the world. It's happening right now. People are moving from the suburbs. People are moving from the rural places, the countrysides, and they're moving to the city. This shift has been going on for the last 10, 15 years. It's happening right now as I'm speaking. God is changing this. God is literally moving people into cities. There's a divine mandate that's happening. There's a concentration of people in the city now. And there's an incredible opportunity for the gospel as a result. This is a place, I know I wasn't going to go into the theology a bit, but I'll just give you another little blip. If you look at the travels of Paul, and just look very strategically at where Paul goes, you'll find that sometimes God tells Paul, don't go here, but go here, or go here, don't go there. And we see that he's literally routed. If you actually look at the routes of the cities that Paul goes to, God chooses metropolises. He chooses big, great cities for him to go to because that's the area of influence. What's happened, unfortunately, the city has abdicated, or the church has abdicated the role in the cities, and they've gone and moved to the suburbs. They've gone and moved out, but that's the pocket of really influence is in the city. Government, education, commerce, all these things happen in city centers, but the church has predominantly moved out of the city because it's a lot easier to plant churches in the suburbs than it is to have a viable church in the city because it's expensive. People are transient. I mean, there's all these other reasons, but it's very clear in the text that God loves cities. I mean, God loves, he loves suburbs and countryside and all this stuff. I don't want you to think he shows favoritism some way, but God in this time and age are bringing people into the city, into city centers, into the urban centers. And it's just what the Spirit of the Lord is doing these days. And so this part of this series that we're going to continue on for a little bit is in our theme of the way, asking ourselves, well, so how now should we live in these changing times? How can we be on the way in the places that we live and that we work here in Hong Kong? How can I be on the way here in Hong Kong? What does that mean to me? What does that mean to our church? What does that mean for ministry? What does that mean about our asset allocations and all these things? This is the questions that we're asking. I hope you're excited, because I'm excited. I have 3 points today. I'm going to make it short, because I know we had testimonies and communion and all these things. Three simple points. Number one, God brought you to this city. Turn to your neighbor, say, hey, good looking. God brought you here. Turn to Acts chapter 17. Acts 17, you probably never saw this before, and I didn't either until recently. Acts 17, verse 26 and 27. This is the famous sermon on Mars Hill, where Paul goes and he sees the unknown God that these guys are all arguing about, these Athenians and Greeks, these scholars that like to debate and argue with each other. This is what he says to them. In Acts 17, verse 26 and 27, he says, "And he made from one every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation. They should seek God, if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us." Notice what he's saying here. He says, and he made from one every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation. This is what Paul is telling these Athenian scholars and these debaters. He's saying that God has chosen for every single person where they should live. Wow. Really? Yeah, that's precisely what the text is saying. In other words, God took Stuart from England, right? Nice English lad. Is that the word they use, lad? Sorry, man. I got to state my culture. And he plucked him out, and God appointed Stuart would move from England to here in Hong Kong, where he'd eventually meet his wife and have a baby and all these wonderful things. God plucked Pastor Eugene, who's from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, of all places, right? You know, I mean, what is a Korean doing in Milwaukee, right, in Wisconsin? It was actually suburbs of Milwaukee, in the boonies. Brought him out to UCLA in Southern California, where he met me, right? Huge turning point of his life. Maybe I need to talk about humility some more. Plucked him out and then moved him to Hong Kong, where he's serving in this church. God did this work. And I could point at each one of you guys and whatever location, this is the Holy Spirit working in your life. God appointed every one of you from every nation. He appointed your boundaries and the time in which the place that you live. Isn't that crazy to think of that? And we, thank you, Mom. And we had this idea that, oh yeah, God, you ordained things. No, this is, the text is very clear. Right, and he made from one every nation of mankind, that means everybody, to live on the face of the earth, having determined their appointed time, having determined when and the boundaries of their habitation and the where of it all. He appointed everyone when they're going to live and where they're going to live. And what was the goal of them being moved from place one to place two to place three and whatnot? What was the goal? That they should seek God. That they should seek God. Because God is not far from them. That God moved people around all over the place. He appoints them. He drives them. He maneuvers in such a way. He's the architect of this. And he brings people to here, brings people to here in certain specific moments of time that they should seek God. that God is doing this. Now, you may be in Hong Kong because your family is Hong Kong Chinese. So you're here by birth, or you're here by family, or you're here because of a relationship, and you came here to follow your husband or your wife, or follow your boyfriend or girlfriend, or you like somebody, or whatever the case may be. And a relationship brought you here. Maybe a job brought you here. And so you used to work somewhere else, and now your company brought you to Hong Kong, and now you're here. It doesn't matter all these things. No matter what the impetus was, the reason why you're here, the architect, it's God. It's God. So turn to your other neighbor and say, hey, good looking, God brought you here to Hong Kong. No matter where your home is, God brought you to this city to find Him and to find His purposes. Isn't that great? Isn't it great knowing there is a divine reason why you're here in Hong Kong? There's a divine reason why you're sitting in church right now today. It wasn't a fluke chance or happenstance or you just felt like it. God literally orchestrated that you'd be here right now in this time, in this church, in this wonderful city. It wasn't a mistake. God is the one who did it. And the goal is that you're going to seek after God. God is going to do something divine. There's a purpose in God in your life, and you're going to find Him in this place. Paul tells us in the Sermon on the Mount, in the Sermon on Mars Hill, that God orchestrates where every person lives on the face of the earth. It's not a mistake that you're here. So prosper where you're planted. Prosper where you're planted. I gave a message on that years ago. That's not this message, but you can go back on the website and find it. But prosper where you're planted. So number one, God brought you to this city. It wasn't your company. It wasn't your relationship. Even your Hong Kong Chinese, that wasn't a mistake either. You were born here, whatnot. God brought you to this place. You're here right now because it's God's will. That's fantastic for us to recognize that. That's the beginning of life for many of us. Number two, so God brought you here. Number two, God wants you to make this city your home. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. God wants you to make the city your home. Turn to Jeremiah. We read Jeremiah 29. Let me tell you the context of Jeremiah 29 when he says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. We understand that. A lot of times we don't understand what God was saying through Jeremiah. And the context of him releasing the promise of welfare. In Jeremiah 29, we're going to read from verse 4 through 6. Jeremiah 29, 4 through 6. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them, and plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and become fathers of sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters and multiply there and do not decrease. Now, let me give you a little background of what's happening. Jeremiah comes on the scene in the kingdom of Judah. Remember, after Solomon dies, the kingdom of Israel is divided into two kingdoms, southern kingdom, northern kingdom, the kingdom of Israel, kingdom of Judah. Judah is, if you just want to know, if Judah is good. There's not all good, but there's good kings amongst that group. Israel, it's all bad. All the kings are pretty rotten, and thus the decline. Judah actually, or the Israel, their reign ends much earlier than the reign of Judah that happens. Now, during this time, there's a king Josiah, and he was a good king. There was the last great revival. So the kingdom of Judah is known as four spiritual declines and three revivals. The last one is when they found the scroll, they found the text, and God brought a revival. Jeremiah comes on the scene basically 5 years after revival, going to the great decline, which really is Jeremiah's life is really the end of the nation of Israel, of the Hebrews as a nation, is going to culminate in Jeremiah's reign. Jeremiah is the prophet, and he is the prophet in bad times. It's hard to be a prophet in bad times because your message is always bad. You guys messed up. You better repent. There's no flowery kind of things that are happening, and this is really the ministry of Jeremiah. Now, what's happening when Jeremiah comes onto the scene is that there's two factions within Judah. There's one faction that's pro-Egypt, and they think that Egypt's going to rise up, and so they want the Israelites to follow after Egypt, the Pharaoh, and there's another group that's pro-Babylonian, and they want to follow after Nebuchadnezzar. The Assyrian kingdom just collapsed, and you know, I'm really in touch with all the history because I just came back from Israel. So, you know, I'm giving you a little spiel of what I was learning over there. And so we see how these things manifest. So imagine one faction is saying, let's go pro-Egypt. The other faction is saying, no, let's go pro-Babylon. And Jeremiah says, no. Don't put your faith in Babylon. Don't put your faith in Egypt. Put your faith in God. That's the primary message of Jeremiah. Trust in the Lord. Don't trust in this king or this general or this pharaoh. Trust in God. Obviously, the people don't obey the voice of Jeremiah the prophet during this time. And so they're sent to exile under Nebuchadnezzar. As they're going into exile, this is the message that God has for the people. He says, as you're going into exile, now they're going into captivity, as you're going into exile, make that place your home. Make that place your home. Build houses. Plant gardens. I mean, if you're moving temporarily, you don't plant gardens and you don't build houses. You build tents. He says, no, get out of tents, build houses, build for yourself gardens, and prepare your children. Marry them. Marry them off. Your children's children, get them ready for marriage as well. And in other words, he's telling these guys to settle in the land. Make this place your home. I mean, this is a hard message for many of us because we're so transient and we find comfort in many ways in that. The Israelites, they're sent into Babylon in not such a wonderful time, but God commands them to make Babylon their home. In other words, I've appointed this time in your life. I've brought you to this place and this season of your life. It's me. God's saying it's me. Now make this your home. Prosper where you're planted. Make significant contributions in this home. Plant gardens. Make it home. Be fruitful and multiply in this place. See, many of us, we have what I call a rental car mentality. Do you know what that is? Sorry. A rental car mentality is this, and this is a good mentality. It's this idea that, how many of you guys have rented a car before? Okay, so you guys know what I'm talking about. How many guys, when you rented a car, you went and you put in a new stereo system? And you basically put on new rims, and you got a GPS in there, and you kind of trick the car up, you know, kind of like what Asians in America like to do for their cars. But you trick the thing up, man, put a new engine in. No, we don't do that. I mean, if you did that, you'd think you're an idiot. I mean, what kind of person takes a rental car and puts a new stereo and new rims and all these things? And of course, you wouldn't do that. But see, God kind of turns something on you. Most of us, we live in Hong Kong like it's a rental car. So we don't really make contributions. But God is saying, actually, this is not a rental car. This car is for keeps. And so now when the car is for keeps, then you start putting in a new stereo system. You start, like, we bought a van for our kids. I was actually really dejected one day when one of my friends from the States came to Hong Kong, and I was driving our minivan, and I used to drive this really big black truck, really manly truck, and he said, oh, P. Sam, I can't believe you're driving a mommy mobile. I never felt so emasculated in my life, you know? But I do drive a mommy mobile now. I'm fine with. And so, and we put a new DVD system in there, and you know, we didn't trick it out, but we added some comforts into the car because that's our car. Now, in Hong Kong, I want you to change your mentality. You think it's a rental car. Guess what? It's not a rental car. The car's for keeps. Now, listen, I'm not saying that you're going to live here for the rest of your life, okay? Because God moves people. He appoints people and whatnot. But there's so many of you that are like living in boxes. Not so much that you emptied out your boxes and whatnot, but it's this that you never really get settled here because you're always thinking about somewhere else. I think that's a huge mistake. That's not prospering where you're planted. That's not necessarily what I believe God is saying to us, especially saying to the exiles here in Jeremiah 29. Make Hong Kong your home. Prosper where you're planted. Get married. Buy houses. Make babies. and prepare your babies to get married as well. You know, God's word to Israel was multi-generational. It wasn't just one generation, it was multi-generational. I mean, that could have been bad news. Can you imagine an Israelite saying, what? I have our kids killed. Are we going to be in captivity for generations? I mean, that could be one side, but God promised to bless them, though. I mean, there's a whole other element of this equation that's there. Listen, church, don't live in your last place. What I mean by that is simply this. I'm from Southern California, beautiful Southern California. When I moved here to Hong Kong, I moved here physically, but to be honest, I did not move here mentally nor emotionally. My heart was still in Southern California. And it came out that every bad incident I had, like I go to the store and try to return something, and you know the sales, I know Hong Kong is not it's a great city, but there's some flaws in Hong Kong, one being customer service. And so you go to the store and they don't want to help you. They don't, you know, and I'd be like, man, if I was in America, if I was in Southern California, I could return this and get my money back and they'll apologize and all these things. And my mentality, I was living here, but my mind and my heart were so far away. There were 7,248 miles back in Los Angeles. I take that flight a lot, so I know exactly the distance there. Right? I mean, it's amazing for us to begin to recognize this. You know, I couldn't enjoy Hong Kong because I was living in the past. I needed to move on. Thing is, if you think about this, I couldn't see the beauty and the joy of what was in front of me because all I was doing was looking back to before. You can't enjoy what's in front of you if you're always looking backwards. I mean, this has ramifications in counseling and inner healing, you know, I mean, in all kinds of different things. But I want to talk about location for a moment here. You can't see the beauty and the joy in front of you because you're looking back the whole time. God wants you to make this city your home. It could be for 6 months. I mean, who knows how God leads us? It could be for 6 years. Who knows? It could be for 60 years. You may be here for the rest of your life. You know, one of the most common things I talk to people, I says, hey, you know, how are you? How'd you get to Hong Kong? Well, yeah, I came to Hong Kong. I was supposed to be here for 2 years, and now it's 20 years now, and I'm still here. I came for 6 months, and now I've been here for 6 years. It's a very common. Most people come here, and they come here with a very transient attitude. Like, surely this is not the final destination. There's something better for me out there. And then they end up staying for so long, but yet they still have that mentality that they're transients. Make Hong Kong your home, at least in your heart. You guys understand what I'm saying? I think this is God's will for us in this season as he's appointed you in this place. Now, okay, it doesn't mean if you leave Hong Kong that I'm going to get upset with you. It means nothing about that, but I'm talking about your heart. This is, if you're convinced that God brought you here, if you're convinced that this is the appointed time, the boundary and the appointed time for you, prosper where you're planted. Prosper where you're planted. Yes, your home is wonderful. It's wonderful. Praise God. But this is your home now. Amen? Right? There are many good things about your home back home. That's great. But this is your home right now for this appointed period of time. So prosper where you're planted. It's not a mistake that you're here. Right? Don't look backwards. God wants to make this city your home. Move on. Make this place your home. And number three, right? This message is so simple. Number three, very simple. God wants you to make the city better. God brought you here. God wants you to make this city your home. And God wants you to make the city better. Turn to verse 7. It's the next verse from Jeremiah 29. This is what he says. Seek the welfare of the city where I've sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord on its behalf. And in its welfare, you will have welfare. In other words, he's saying, make the city better. Pray for the city. The message, Eugene Peterson's translation, he says this. Make yourselves at home there and work for the country's welfare. Pray for Babylon's well-being. If things go well for Babylon, things will go well for you. Things will go well for you. Make yourselves at home in this place. Work for the country's welfare. Pray for Hong Kong's well-being. If things go well for Hong Kong, guess what? Things are going to go well for you. This is God's promise to every single one of us. The word seek that he uses here, some translations, the New Living Translation, uses the word work instead. But the Hebrew word is darash. And what it means, it's work. It's almost like a requirement. Let this be required of you that you do something for this city. The welfare in Hebrew is the word shalom. And so other translations talk about peace, but peace is not really, it is a good definition, but actually a better word is actually completeness. When talking about the shalom of God, the peace, it's talking about overriding completeness of all things. That's really what peace is really about. It's this prosperity that comes. And so he says, pray for Hong Kong. Work for the completeness of Hong Kong. Take care of Hong Kong. Take care of the city. If we do that, God promises that he'll take care of us. Remember what the definition of humility was? To deploy our resources, our influence for the benefit of others before ourselves? That's what we're talking about here. When Jeremiah is laying this out, he's saying, hey, work for the benefit of other people. Work for the benefit of people you don't even know hardly. Work for the benefit of people that are different from you. Work for the benefit of people that are culturally very different. I mean, it's amazing when we really get a sense of what God is doing in our lives and speaking to us. He's saying, take care of the city. Be humble in that way. Deploy your resources and your influence to benefit others before yourself. And in this context, to benefit the city and what God is doing in this city so that the city would seek after God, that would seek after him. There'd be revival in this place, that something supernatural would happen. And I'll say it is happening right now. God's doing something in this place. Pray for this. Pray. Then he says, if we do that, God promises it'll be good for us, that in their peace, in the city's peace, we will have peace. In the city's completeness, we will have completeness. What a great promise of God. But that's not going to happen if you're here physically, but emotionally, you're somewhere else. You guys understand what I'm saying? God divinely brought you into this season of your life, into this city. Prosper where you're planted. Don't put your feet in one place and here, and your heart and your mind, your attention somewhere else. I don't think that's being faithful to God's will in your life right now. I don't think that's being faithful to the church and what God's doing in our midst as well. Part of the Luke 12 anti-materialism mandate is really to take care of this city. We're going to take those proceeds and we're going to bless this city. And I sincerely hope we raise millions of dollars. I hope we raise millions of dollars for this so we can bless this city. We started outreach and whatnot because we felt convicted that we were not doing enough for the city. And now we have stuff going on every weekend in this place. I mean, praise God. But it's being aware of the welfare of the city. What does this city need? And fulfilling. See, when it comes down to it, I mean, let's just be really real for a moment. We are so stinking selfish. Right? I know I am. It's all about me, myself, and I. And God says, seek for the welfare of the city. Something beyond you. Something beyond. But the great thing about God, what he does, and when we do that, he says, man, and you're going to get blessed too. You know, God's so wonderful at that. You go after others and you bless others, and God says, I'm going to bless you too. Seek for the welfare of the city. In its peace, you will have peace. It's the promise of God. I said, if God, you feel like God brought you here, you feel like this is the Lord orchestrated for you to be here, no matter what impetus it was, right? And then you're making this place your home. Now, go a step further. Make this city better. Make it better. Make it the house of God. You know, make it the place where people will seek after him. Whatever it takes, whatever is required, you make the city better. Amen? Now, we're going to be discussing a little bit more, okay? I feel like I'm just giving you the introduction of this. And we're going to talk about what it means or what we can do to make this city better. And I'm going to go through the book of Isaiah with you. And Isaiah lays a really clear plan for us in doing that. And we're going to get to that. But I want to grab your heart first and foremost. Let's close our eyes right now. Let's go before the Lord. Do you believe that God has appointed that one from every nation, that he has set the appointed time and he set the appointed boundary? You should believe it because it's scriptures. It's true. God brought you to this place for a purpose, to seek God, to draw closer to him, to understand his purposes. Now he's brought you here. Now make this place your home. Build, plant, marry, get your kids ready to get married. In other words, live life. Let this be home for you. It doesn't mean that you'll stay here in Hong Kong forever. You might move on. You might move on tomorrow. Who knows? But in the day that you're here, in the days that you're here, prosper where you're planted. Have your heart set in this place. Really, in essence, have your heart set in God, and he'll set your heart to the place. And then, make the city better. Work for its welfare. Work, seek, pray for Hong Kong. And then really, in the wider picture, China as well. Seek after its welfare. And in its welfare, you will have welfare. It's a promise of God. So let's check our hearts today, right now. Let's ask Holy Spirit to speak to us. Am I physically in Hong Kong? My heart is in Southern California or London or South Africa or Japan, Singapore, wherever you're from. It doesn't mean those places are bad, but this is the appointed time for you right now. Solomon's Porch is in the city center for a specific purpose. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you today about your heart. Where is your heart? Is your heart for the city in which you live? It doesn't mean you can't pray for other places. Yeah, don't misunderstand what I'm trying to say. But what is God saying to you right now through this message? And just respond to him. The worship team is going to lead us in a song. We're about to have communion in a moment. But just interact with God about your heart, where it's at, towards the city. This place that God has chosen for us to be at this time of our lives. Well, let's pray together.
Is the Lord and most worthy of praise in the city of our God, the holy place, the joy of the whole earth. Great is the Lord.
Let me read from 1 Corinthians 11:23, it says, "For I received from the Lord, which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number asleep." May I invite the ushers to come. Let's prepare our hearts, as Paul commands us to receive from the Lord his bountiful gift of love and grace on the cross. We're going to pass this out, and I want to encourage you to grab the wafer and the juice in your hands, and we'll take it together as one body. Let's all go to the Lord and prepare our hearts. Is there anyone who's not yet received the elements?
Great.
Let's take the elements, and as we hold them in our hands, let's pray together. Let's spend a moment, and if you haven't already, let's just thank the Lord for His sacrifice, for His goodness, for laying down His life and having His blood poured out for the remission of our sins. Let's pray together. Lord, we come humbly, God, to Your table once again, Lord. And God, our resounding, Lord, affection of our heart just says thank You. Thank You, thank You so much, Lord, for all that You've given to us, God, for all that You've done. Lord, for placing us in this city, God, for having a purpose in our lives in this place. Now give us the strength, Lord, to follow through and obey. We thank You, Lord, that Your death has paved the way for us to live, God. We love You, Lord. Just watch over us, God. Say together, this is Christ's body broken for you, the blood of the new covenant poured out for you. Let's take together. If you're done, let's rise to our feet. Let's sing this together.
The Lord in whom we have the victory. He
want you to grab someone's hand. Go across the aisle. Let's grab a hold of somebody. And let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for this place. Let's pray for the people. Let's pray for revival. Let's pray for the systems at work here would change. Let's pray for the wealth gap that's happening here, the greatest in the world. That should cause us to be on our knees first and foremost anyway. Let's pray for this city. Let's pray for inhabitants. Let's pray for the government. Pray for CY Lung. Ask God to move just a few blocks from here where they meet every week to write laws and whatnot. Let's just lift up this place. Let's pray together, hand in hand with one another. Father, we commit our hearts, God, as individuals and as a body, Lord, as a church, to pray for the peace of Hong Kong, to pray for its welfare, God, to seek to work for its peace, God, and knowing that in its peace, God, that we'll have peace. But I pray that you would remind us, God, throughout our weeks and our days, Lord, God, that you brought us here, God. It may not have been our companies or relationship or family, but Lord, you are the architect. And you've appointed, God, this time and the boundaries and where we're living right now. And so, Lord, we pray, God, that now that we're here, Lord, that we would live and work, God, and pray with purpose. Lord, there's a divine reason why we're here, God, why you've gathered all of us from the nations to settle in this, God, tiny island, Lord. And we pray, God, that we want to walk in your purposes, Lord, that your people, us and this city, will seek after God. Because, Lord, you're not difficult to find. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd bless this congregation, God, Lord, to be stakeholders in the purposes of God in this city, Lord. Now we thank you, Lord. We bless you, God. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord causes face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Why don't you hug someone next to you if you want to. You can shake a hand as well if you feel uncomfortable. Enjoy some refreshments and let's make this city better. Amen.